Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the IFGL eFactories Limited Q4 and FY 2021 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agrawal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of all of us at SKP Securities, it is my pleasure and privilege to welcome you to this financial results conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We have with us Mr. Kamal Sarda, CEO and CFO. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Sarda, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sarda, for your remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Navin. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for joining us on IFGL Refractories Limited Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. I hope you and all of you, all your friends and relatives are safe and good health. Along with me, we have SGA, our investor relation advisors, and SKP Securities Limited. We have uploaded the press release and the results presentation on stock exchange, and I hope you have had a chance to go through the same. Let me give you a small brief on the business highlights. I'm very pleased to announce that our company has recorded its ever highest yearly revenue and EBITDA in FY 2021. On the adjusted basis, we have also recorded highest ever yearly PAT in FY 2021. We have also achieved a significant milestone on surpassing 1,000 crore yearly revenue in FY 2021 on a consolidated basis. Sorry. Demand for steel continued to be strong and broad-based across all the steel consuming sectors. Kickstarts of CapEx cycles, spending in infrastructure, resumption of real estate and construction activities, revival of partially auto industry are the key factors behind the sustained demand. Domestic steel capacity has witnessed higher utilization level on the back of continued order inflow and exports. Steady demand for steel also led to steady demand of our refractories. Domestic and export markets both remain favorable for us during FY 2021. However, during the end of FY 2021, due to the second wave of COVID-19, lockdown restrictions were brought in order to control the spread of virus. The industrial oxygen which is required to produce steel was partially diverted to hospitals for a good cause, which is expected to impact steel production, which is getting back to normal now. However, we believe the demand has been quite strong and has just been postponed. Many parts of the country have already started unlocking, and hence we expect the demand to revive back with increased economic activities. With respect to our CapEx plan, work is on track at our greenfield expansion in Visakhapatnam, which will start commercial production hopefully in this quarter. The phase II of the expansion plan is also expected to complete it by quarter one of FY 2023. Going ahead, we expect the demand to be steady with the unlocking of economy. With enhanced capacities and new product capabilities, we expect to improve the scale of business, which will lead to scale benefits and operating leverage playing out in long term for the company. With strong results and positive outlook ahead, the board of directors has recommended a dividend of rupees 4 per share and a special dividend of rupees 6 per share, totaling rupees 10 per share for FY 2021, subject to shareholders' approval. This is 100% dividend in total. Let me come to the financial highlights for Q4 and the full year FY 2021. Starting with standalone, total income increased by 50% year-on-year to 176.8 crore in Q4 FY21, while it increased by 29% to 655.8 crore in FY21. EBITDA increased by 111% Y-on-Y to 37.1 crore in Q4 FY21, while it increased by 83% in FY21 full year. EBITDA margin expanded by 600 basis points in quarter four and expanded by 640 basis points in FY21. Before going ahead, let me spend some time on the one-time tax impact which we had on account of goodwill during the quarter four FY21. You all must have seen the results. Following the merger of erstwhile IHL Refractories with the company under the amalgamation scheme, goodwill of 267 crore had arisen in the books of the holding company in 2016, which was being depreciated or amortized over a period of 10 years. As per the amendments in the Finance Act 2021, goodwill on amalgamation is no longer a depreciable asset, and depreciation on goodwill is not allowable expenditure effective 1st April 2020. Company has therefore recognized one-time deferred tax charge of 21.6 crore for Q4 FY21 and 20.2 crore for the year, consequent to the reduction of depreciable amount of goodwill for the tax purpose to nil. This deferred tax charge does not involve any cash outflow, either in the current year or in the future also. Coming back to the financial results, adjusted PAT increased by 72% to 10.7 crore, while it increased by 119% to 65 crore in FY21. Adjusted PAT margin expanded by 80 basis points, while it expanded by 400 basis points in full year. Coming to the consolidated financial results, our consolidated financial highlights also include our international subsidiaries in the US and Europe. I am pleased to share that all our subsidiaries are now profitable even at the PAT level. Total consolidated income increased by 28% Y-on-Y to 288 crores in Q4, while it increased by 12% to 1,042 crores in FY21. Consolidated EBITDA increased by 111% to 48.5 crore in Q4, while it increased by 72% Y-on-Y to 176 crore in FY21. Consolidated EBITDA expanded by 660 basis points in Q4, while it expanded by 590 basis points in FY21. Adjusted PAT increased by 186% to 19.1 crore in Q4, while it increased by 114% Y-on-Y to 85.8 crore in quarter. Full year 21. Previous period profit has also had been adjusted by an exceptional item on account of impairment of goodwill pertaining to German operations for better comparison. Adjusted PAT margin expanded by 360 basis points in quarter four, while it expanded by 390 basis points in full year 21. Coming to the individual international businesses, EI Ceramics, our U.S. subsidiary, total income was $17 million, down 12% in full year. EBITDA was 2.31, down 2%. PAT was $1.74 million, up 8%. Monocom, our U.K. subsidiary, total income was £25.9 million, up by 4% year-on-year. EBITDA was 1.07 million as compared to EBITDA loss of 1 million last year. PAT stood at 0.8 million as compared to PAT loss of 1.36 million last year. Hoffman Ceramics, total income was 6.5%, down 18% year on year. EBITDA stood at 0.56 million euro as compared to EBITDA loss of 0.48 million last year. PAT is 0.12 million euro as compared to PAT loss of 1 million last year. With respect to liquidity position, we remain net debt free with a strong balance sheet and strong cash flow. Cash and cash equivalent as of 31st March on a consolidated basis was 322 crores. So this is brief about the company and financials. I now leave the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chirag from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a great performance for the full year.
Thank you, sir.
So I just had two or three questions. One was, you know, obviously we've seen a very sharp improvement in profitability in the standalone business. And if you could point out what you think is long-term sustainable margins in standalone. So that's my first question. The second is the Vishakhapatnam Phase 1, Phase 2 expansion. Once it is completed and when it is eventually fully operational, what kind of revenue can it possibly generate?
Okay.
That's the second question. And if you could just touch upon the performance outlook for the subsidiaries, that would be helpful.
Okay. On the performance coming from the backside performance, I think I gave you the performance. I think the U.S. subsidiary has always been the highest profit-making company, and that will continue to remain like that. The U.S. is now recovering very fast. And I'm sure this year will be significantly better than last year. Last year, the first two quarters of EI Ceramics was bad. Not only EI Ceramics, the other U.S. company was also bad. So I hope with the recoveries now, this year's performance in the U.S. will be better. UK, we are also hopeful the current financial year should be better. Well, last year also it's partially impacted. So that's our view there. I'm not going to give you any figures as such. That would be wrong for me. But they would be doing better than last year. That's our assessment. And Hoffman, we are continuing to work towards it. And we hope that we will be in a position to improve it further. Because this is the first time after maybe a couple of years we have had profit. Last few months we have had profit, so I hope this year should be better there. So in nutshell, the overseas operation also should do better in the current financial year. So that's the last question. Coming to your first question, we did discuss couple of months back on this. See, there are a few factors which helped us this financial year. One, obviously, that during the entire lockdown period, the first lockdown, we were in operations. Our Odisha plant was in operations, barring about 20-day shutdown of our Gujarat plant. We were in full operations, and fortunately, we had backup of raw materials, so we could serve the customers better. There was a very strong demand from our overseas customers during that period. So that's there. And in the whole of the year, our export sales have been also very, very good. So in that nutshell, our exports to total turnover ratio has also the exports have been higher compared to the domestic. So domestic also increased, but the export increased much, much more. The other factor was, fortunately, we had a favorable forex. On our because if you look at the last March dollar and euro rates, rupee depreciated thereafter. I'm talking very specifically in rupee to euro was favorable to us. The lot of work which we had been doing in the last couple of years, on maybe last two or three years, on the raw material or the input cost side, and which is I'm sure this year, FY21, it favored us. We could do a lot of improvements. And, you know, earlier we had only ISO, not only, ISO was the major product basket. Now, in the last few years, last couple of years, we have tried to increase the other product ranges also, like StrideGate, Purging, Precast, and the monolithic side. And this year, the percentage of these products have grown much faster than ISO. So, and this, there also we have worked on the raw material costs and our margins have been much better. There earlier, the margins used to be lower. On the expense side, yeah, we have done lot of expenses rationalization. And one of the major savings in last 1 year, I'm sure it is applicable to all of us, there was hardly any travel cost. Our travel costs were normally 1% of the sales. So there was hardly any travel in the last whole of last year. I think if you accumulate all these factors, will result in the reasons for our increased margins.
What kind of margin broadly, without giving any particular specific guidance, you know, how much, what kind of, because, you know, you've been at 15%, you've jumped to 20%, so what is the level that you think you can sustain?
Difficult. So Chirag, I think margins last year's were good. I will not put any kind of figures there, but we are trying to keep the margins for this year also.
So, and so the last two questions, one was on the Visakhapatnam expansion, and okay. Second was, you know, where, so the one which I didn't ask earlier is, what kind of steel output increase are you expecting for the country for the full year?
Okay. Visakhapatnam plant will get, I think the first phase, as I mentioned, I think in this month, we're going to start the trial production and commercial production. And we've spent about 30 crores in the first phase. In normal course, we look at about three to four times capex as turnover. So we should be looking at 100 crores in a full year operation. It may take 2-3 years to reach the full year. So this year would be first 6 months would be more into test and trials. And so I'm not saying there will be a lot of sales from this plant in this financial year. But yes, we would be stabilizing that plant, get the plant approved at various customer end. Because all customers for any new plant, they need an approval process to be gone through. So we'll try and get all the approvals in the next, say, 3 to 6 months time. And then thereafter, we'll have some sales this year. Nothing very significant. It could be 20 odd crores in this financial year. And then next financial year, I think it would go up. So that's the normal way of looking at things. That 3 to 4 times the capex. And the next year, somewhere around Q1, we should be completing the next phase, which should cost us somewhere around 20 odd crores. That again will go through a similar process that may take a slightly longer time because that is a more shaped product. So that will take a slightly longer time for test and trial. It may take about 6 months to 8 months. So that benefit of that would be coming in the subsequent year. Now, coming to the steel outlook, Chirag, if you go to the world steel figures, and the world steel figures say that this year, this calendar year, in India will go back to the normal steel operation of last year, almost like they are projecting almost 20% growth compared to the last year. Last year, we had about 14% minus negative. So so that's our assessment also. We are seeing a good demand, good uptake from the steel plant. They're all running full capacities. And it should be good in the next few years also.
Great, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pradash from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers. I just have two questions. First, you know, you said on the demand that we expect around the industry, the steel industry to grow close to 20% in CY21. Now, this is despite the kind of impact in production any we would have seen in the current quarter. Am I right in thinking that way?
No, I've just mentioned the World Steel Association steel outlook figures. I'm not projected on my own. So that's the last projections which I have in front of me. There could be ups and downs, but there could be severe ups in the next few months also when things go back to normal. But I've just gone and said what has been said by the World Steel Association.
Okay. But for us, even in the current quarter, which is, you know, Q1 FY21, are we seeing any considerable moderation in terms of repacking consumables or, you know, any indicators?
Yes, you're right. Some steel plants have shown some moderation. Some steel plants have asked us to defer some dispatches, but nothing very, very significant. Like Steel Authority or the large steel mills could produce almost full capacity. It was the smaller players, they had some issues.
Got it. And
but
so they've all
gone back to, I think are in the process of going back to normal now.
Okay. And, you know, second question was again on the demand. You know, a certain part of the demand was met by imports from China, Korea, you know, in the unshaved and other repackaging products. So has that now largely moved to the domestic players? Is that already, so has a large part of that already moved to the domestic vendors?
So, you know, in the last 6 to 8 months' time, the ocean freight between China to India had gone up significantly. I think I mentioned in my last conference call that the freight from China to India was somewhere around $400 to $500 per container. Now it's hovering around $2,000 to $2,500 per container. It's gone up at least 5 to 6 times. It has gone up beyond $3,000 one point of time. So obviously the freight cost per ton has gone up significantly. So some product which they found it's better to make in India, but I'm not saying that this has significantly shifted, but yes, there is some shift which has happened due to this fact that the costs have gone up, the logistics costs. The freight plays a very, very significant role. And mind it, all the products which were imported from China was a moderate value, valued product, not very high valued product. So the freight cost on them was significant. So there are some products like magnesia carbon brakes, that a lot of players who have started manufacturing in India. So that shift will happen in the next 1 or 2 years more and more when the capacities come up. But not in our range of products. Our range of products we were always making, there was hardly any competition from imports.
Okay. Just one last question was on the, you know, raw material price trend, you know, if any perspective you can share. And, you know, even in this quarter, we have seen a gross margin expansion for us. So, you know, I think a quarter or two back, you were talking about industry not sharing, I mean, end customers not giving us price increase despite them having a very healthy spread. So, I mean, are we now getting a price increase from customers? And is that enough to account for the raw material inflation which we have seen?
So any price increase, giving any price increase by any customer is a tough job. Okay. The customers also understand the costs have gone up. As I mentioned, freight and other things. Even there has been RMB appreciation over a period of time, over the period of last say, 8 to 10 months, about 7% RMB appreciation has also happened. So the customers know, customers are aware of this fact, but it's a competitive market. Even if I am asking for a price increase, if somebody else goes and bids for it at the same price or slightly lower than our price, then so it's a competitive market. But in nutshell, yes, customers are, we have got some price increases, but that will only happen when the ordering, that order completes or a new order comes in. But yes, there are price increases which are happening not only in India, across the world. Whether it will meet the full costs or not, only time will say. You know, it's a timing mismatch may happen, okay? So only the time will say. But every customer is aware of this fact, and they are willing to listen to us. So that's a good part of it. Maybe we'll get some price increases, but it's a competitive market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. Next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Manidhi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions on my side. I just wanted to understand the revenue potential of the CapEx that we are doing, specifically the Kandla project, 10 crores, which is expected to commission in H1 FY22, and the another 30 crore expected to commission in Q1 FY22. What sort of revenue can these CapExes generate?
See, generally on a thumb rule, on a green field, you're talking of anywhere between 3 to 4x.
Okay.
On a brownfield, it can be about 6 to 7x.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. That was helpful. And then just a couple of bookkeeping questions. So now, as we'll be writing off the goodwill, the depreciation amount going forward will be in the range of 20 to 25 crores. Is that understanding correct?
No.
Okay.
How do you say depreciation amount will be 20 to 25?
I was referring to your slide number 15, which shows the bifurcation of depreciation and amortization and the goodwill amortized. And now as we'll be writing off the goodwill against our reserves, so the going ahead, the that would not be forming a part of the P&L. So,
yeah, so the balance depreciation is about 22 crores.
Yeah.
So that will continue. This 27 will not be there.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, this is subject to the approval of NCLT.
Okay, got it.
Okay. It is not that we are doing it unilaterally, because this scheme was approved by NCLT. So we have to get go back to NCLT for approval.
Okay, got it.
Once NCLT approves, then we can adjust that with the share premium.
Okay.
It's just a process we have approved in our board, but this is subject to NCLT approvals. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. Then coming to the performance of our subsidiaries, specifically El Ceramics and Hoffman Ceramics. So in both these subsidiaries, there was a drop in revenue, but a substantial improvement on the EBITDA and PAT front. So, we just wanted to understand that what led to this sort of improvement versus, was it a change in the product mix, or were we able to get better prices, or is it due to cost controls? If you can just throw some color on that.
Okay. On the EI Ceramics, the sales was down because the first quarter and second quarter was very bad. We had a loss in the first quarter. Second quarter was also a low sales. And then thereafter, the U.S. market picked up from the second quarter itself. So that's the reason why sales is low. On the profit, how did we maintain the same profit? Last year, if you recollect the quarter three results of our, wherein we mentioned that in U.S. we got a $1 million grant from the government of U.S., which was an employment protection plan. I think something they call it a people protection plan or something like that, or pay protection plan. And then that grant was initially given as a loan, but then subject to certain condition, that loan was waived.
Okay.
Okay. So that $1 million in the U.S. Company, so there are two companies in the U.S., EI Ceramics, I think, got about 0.7 odd million dollars. So that's the reason the PAT is higher. Otherwise, the PAT there also would have been lower to that extent because of the sales lower. And on the Hoffman Ceramics, there are various reasons. One, there was some product group, a more profitable product we could sell, although the margins would be lower product. Lower margin products, there was hardly any sales there. But then we could reduce a lot of costs there because of this various lockdowns and restrictions put in. There were three or four people who resigned, we did not replace. There was some furlough scheme also, the German subsidiary got. So there was some money grant received from the government there also. But then more was the expense control and the high margin products.
Okay. So going forward, should we see some revenue growth in our subsidiaries? And if yes, then what is giving you the confidence for that?
Revenue growth, yes. Because the last year, the initial quarters were bad. I'm saying this year should be better. I think I mentioned this thing to...
So you were mentioning about the subsidiaries' performance.
Yeah, so as I said, the first two quarters had impacted due to COVID restrictions in the various countries. And I hope this year will be better than last year.
Okay. So on the U.S. subsidiary, so U.S. has also announced that they'll be spending heavy on CapEx, infrastructure basically. So, do you think we can get some price increase because of the increase in demand over there and, you know, which will help improve the profitability of our U.S. subsidiaries?
There also we are getting some price increases.
Okay.
On primarily on the front of the input cost increase, not because what the U.S. government is spending. As I mentioned, it's a very, very competitive market.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be based on competition. The pricing is not based on what we want. The pricing is based on competition. We're getting price increases. And hopefully, we're trying to see that if that can offset our cost increases so that we are able to maintain the margin.
Okay.
So the market is aware of the price increases, yes.
Right. And this last question on my side, what will be the tax rate going forward?
Where?
The blended tax rate for the consolidated business.
I'm not calculated, but it should not be very significantly lower than what it is now.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Kumar from Bharatiya Exa Capital. Please go ahead.
Sorry, this is Hitesh from Exa Capital. Sir, just wanted to understand the nature of contracts that we have with our clients. Is it a simple supply arrangement that we have, or do we also have flow service contracts where we take care of the entire refractory requirements of the particular mill?
We have both the type of contracts.
Okay, so if I have to understand the mix in the domestic market, probably could you please share what would be the mix between
in the domestic market, we call it along with application. So application and supply contract would constitute about 60-70% of the total domestic business.
Okay, okay, and what would be this mix in your overseas market?
Overseas, there are no application contracts with us.
Sure. Got it.
It's purely supply.
Sure. So when you say 70% mix on the application or the contract base, what would be the tenure of these contracts where you will have these pricing reasons?
Usually it is 1 year to 3 year term.
Okay. So in the interim, if there is a, you know, an RM increase, that is not a pass-through. It has to be absorbed as part of the contract term?
So if it is 1 year contract, it is almost a fixed price contract. And if it is a 3 year contract, at the end of the first year, you can ask for the price increase with proper justification.
Got it. Got it. And this would be a calendar year contract, is it? How would the pricing be?
No. There are no fixed rules for that. It can be from any date to any date.
Okay. Sure. And sir, if I look at your gross margin, historically, gross margins were, I'm looking at the standalone operations alone. So about 48% is where our margins have been, about 45%-48%. It's only this year where we have seen a 53% gross margin. Just wanted to understand if this, you know, of course, you did mention about those products where there was a product mix in your export business. But besides that, has there anything that has led to this significant improvement in gross margin?
As I said, we have worked on various input costs in the last couple of years. So this year, we have been able to use it better. And that's one of the reasons where, and one of, and few product groups where our margins were lower in the last few years. I think this year, we have had good margins in that also. Plus, in the export market, as I mentioned, export is more than 60% this year. The forex rate also played an important role where the top line went up. And in input costs, because we all import in dollars, the rupee dollar was pretty stable.
So at least we should not go back to that 48% kind of margins, right? Except for that 100-200 just because of the spread movement.
We are trying to maintain the margin.
Okay. And this is despite the fact that in the recent last 2-3 months where we have seen a significant increase in zirconia and also your graphite powder. So that we should still be able to maintain a margin somewhere around this 53%
odd. We'll try and see how best we can maintain the margin.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to assure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Abhisar Jain from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations for the superb set of numbers in FY21 in a very tough year.
Thank you.
Sir, I just wanted to understand that, you know, on the domestic operation side, you know, I believe that we have been making a lot of efforts on the client acquisition side also, and we have been able to add, you know, a decent chunk of clients in the mid-size and the mini mills. So could you, you know, suggest what kind of client addition would have happened in, say, last year or last 2 years?
See, on the mini mill segment, there are various small customers. In mini mills, there are small customers, I would say. But on the large side, we have added few customers like Tata, BSL, which was the Bhushan Steel earlier. We have added JSPL Angul, which is a new, very large customer for us as of today. These are the two large customers. Our business has increased with various customers like Bhushan Power and Steel, which is now JSW Group part. We have had new businesses with JSW Dolvi and then JSW Salem. These are some of the customers, I would say, on the large mill side. But in the mini mill segment, there are various customers which have got added, Abhisar.
Sure. And sir, with SAIL also, we are maintaining our share, or we've been able to take it up a little bit? Because that has been one of our oldest customers in the large mills.
SAIL, we are maintaining some shares, but in some segments, it's a it's a competitive game again. But I would say in nutshell, we are maintaining our share. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, actually, I wanted to understand that since sales volume was stuck in a range for a very long time, and now because the other mills capacity expansion is yet to come on board, right? Because Tata's expansion is still 2 years away, and even JSW's Dolvi plant has got delayed a bit. So what I understand is that the sale volume in the interim has started picking up quite strongly because there was a lot of expansion happening in sale for last 7-8 years. So we are maintaining that share in that larger volume.
Expanded capacities also. Right. In the expanded capacity also, we have got a decent share of it.
Sure. And sir, as I understand, is that we are making very strong efforts to also acquire one of the other large mills on the western side of the country, right? Which we still don't have on board, right?
Yeah.
So
we are undertaking trials and all. Possibly in the next few months, we'll be able to enter into that plant with a regular business.
Right, so that'll be great, and my best wishes for that.
That's the biggest plant we are not having in our customer book so far.
Correct. That will be one of our key things for our volume.
Yeah.
Sir, so also, sir, I think what I understand is that IFGL standalone was also making a lot of effort in increasing the recycled refractory content in the raw material source, raw material input, right? So could you indicate that what progress we would have made in the last 2 years in the recycled content in the RM?
I will not use the recycled material. I would say alternate material.
Mm-hmm.
The recycled material is a bad word for the steel plant. They will say that kahan se reject material la karke use kar rahe. I would say alternate material. Yes, our usage of such alternate material have increased. I will not mention any percentage as Avisha. That's something which is more to be worked upon. But we have definitely worked very hard and improve on the usage of alternate raw materials.
And sir, it will be fair to assume that as we are increasing this alternate material proportion, it continuously keeps our gross margin better or allows us to fight the RM volatility better, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And sir, just one.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay, and so just one clarification on this goodwill adjustment that we are taking the approval for. So till the time we don't get the approval, you will keep accounting for the 6.7 crore write-off in the quarterly numbers?
Yes. We have to.
Oh, right.
So maybe as and when the approval comes in, it will be written back in that particular quarter or if it comes in the last quarter, it will happen in the last quarter. But till such time, the write-off continues.
Sir, any timeline for the completion of this process? Is it going to be 6 months or it can be even higher than that?
It's a court process, Abhishar. But we are expecting anywhere between 6 to 9 months it should happen. But nowadays, courts are also working online, so I don't know how this will happen. But it should take more than 6 months time.
Sure. Just last one on Hoffman. Do you expect that the now performance can be a little bit stable because it's been all over the place? This year we have done very well in FY21, but can you maintain this?
Yeah, that's the target. Yes. Yes, that's the target to maintain this momentum.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and best wishes.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratiksha Daptari from Equitas Investment Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I just wanted to understand, currently you've mentioned that our export contribution has increased. Do we expect to maintain this kind of export contribution, and what would be the factors that we've been able to, increase our exports so much?
I think we'll be able to maintain this because overseas the market is very, very strong. As well as the domestic market, we will be able to maintain this export formula. All our customers are producing in almost full capacity, if not more. And so I don't see that there is any reason why we should have a different kind of proportion in export and domestic.
So what, sir, what has led to this increase in export demand?
It's the production levels at the various steel mills where we have our customers, I would say. So they are running more and so we are able to sell more. Barring one or two places where we have been able to supply more because I think the customers, they found us more competitive and they have given us more orders.
Okay. So, sir, any difference in the, our competitiveness, like are our prices lower than the prices or if there is a material difference there, if you can elaborate on that?
Difficult to answer this question, but definitely we are competitive in the international market. That's why we are there in the market and we have a significant name. Not only the price, but also the quality. There have been places where our quality is superior than our nearest or the largest competitor. It's not only the price. The price only doesn't factor because the refractory cost per ton of steel is insignificant. So people are looking at more the quality part of it than the price part of it. So our quality is superior in various places.
Okay. And does our export business command a differential margin than domestic business?
We don't calculate our margins based on domestic or export. I'll not be able to tell you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nilesh Doshi from GL Capital. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions from my side. First is did mention that at the country level, I think we are reaching at full capacity utilization of steel industry. And we have also heard that in the media that a lot of new capex is coming. I think overall they are talking about 20 million ton new BOAF coming in over next 3 to 5 years. So this new capex, does it help for more business, especially on the capex time?
So our refractories are more as consumable. It's only after they commission the plant that we come in, not in the capex side.
Okay.
Once you start running, our refractories are consumed.
Okay. The second is, sir, on the technological upgradation. Are there any products or high-value chain products which we don't have and are we working towards that? Can those be a big need mover for us over the next 3 years? Because since I don't understand this industry.
There are a lot of products. We don't make all the range of refractories. Refractories are very wide range of products. There could be tens of thousands of type of products. We don't make all the types. We are only into the steel making side. We're not into brakes. We're not into the tonnage refractories. But even the special refractories, there are some refractories where we are working on it, and possibly in the next 1 or 2 years, we'll try to include them in our portfolio, which will add some more value addition to the customer as well as to our top line.
So these are what, long drawn process to develop the products and then take approvals.
No, the approval process with the customer will be there, definitely there. It's not that we have made a product and customer will agree to buy. It has to be trial and trial procedure with the customer. So that may take, as I mentioned, that may take anywhere between 6 months to 1 year time to get approval processes from customers.
Okay.
So that will be there. The entry barrier as far as technology is concerned, it has to go through
rigorous trial at the customer end. Okay. And other than steel industry, we are not into any other kind of industries like glass, or we don't make refractories.
No, not. We are into non-ferrous in a very, very small manner. Not
but we don't see opportunity over there.
No, the opportunities are there. The technology is there.
Oh, and it would take, so we need to develop those R&D for those kind of technologies.
Yeah. We have always remained focused to the steel industry.
Okay.
Gone very small, so sold to aluminium, very, very small to copper,
mm-hmm.
but not very significant, very small portion of that.
Okay. So that's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from Ratnabali. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good noon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
So just what is the current utilization level for this quarter on a console basis?
At the India level, we should be somewhere around 80%, 85% in some product group. And some product group, it could be about 75%. And in the overseas level, towards the end, the utilization was good, I would say.
Sorry, sir?
On an average, towards the end, the last quarter, the utilizations were good. Maybe it could be somewhere around maybe 70% levels.
20% level. So what would be the blended utilization for the Indian operations, sir?
Pardon?
What would be the blended utilization for the overall Indian operations? Is it 80%
blended.
Kind of? Yeah.
80%. Yeah. 80%.
80% kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the outlook, sir, for this next fiscal FY22 for the utilization trend, sir? Like you are thinking about 20% kind of steel growth.
Apart from utilization, we are also adding and debottlenecking our capacity.
Okay.
So we are also gearing up our capacities based on demand. So that. Capacities will never be a bottleneck for us. So the outlook of the steel industry, you all know, is very good.
Exactly.
And
if we presume a 20% kind of growth, so what kind of the effective demand that might boost up for 20% kind of steel consumption growth?
You can assume for the new capacities, the steel industry, you can assume a similar growth.
Okay. Okay. So, and sir, one next question is you just mentioned, for the greenfield thing, the capex turnover ratio is 3 to 4 times, whereas for brownfield is 6 to 7 times. So, what might be the difference between these two things, sir?
Brownfield could be because you are in a position to utilize a lot of carbon resources. So the capex is slightly lower.
Okay.
And on a greenfield, you have to take a land, you have to create building. In a brownfield or expansion project, you don't have to buy land. And
okay.
Then
the land cost is just making the difference.
Certain basic facilities like utilities and all other would remain common. There will be no additional expenditures for that.
And so where do we procure for raw materials from? Is it from China? Because the ocean freight is at its peak from China to India.
From various China continues to be our major source of raw material.
So going forward, so we might face some problems in the procuring raw materials. Do you feel like that?
We have not found any problems so far. And we don't foresee any problems as such. At a price, you get your material. We don't foresee any problems.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Security Investments Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had two follow-up questions. Thanks for the opportunity. One is, you talked about us gaining share in large steel customers. So what product or segments in the steel, making value chain where we have managed to gain share Can you share some positive? And a second related question is, you know,
can you please a bit more clarify your question, what you want?
So, you know, we talked about us gaining market share by adding new customers in the large steel category, large steel category. So can you give some perspective, you know, what products or segments have we gained and who have we gained this share from?
So in various customers, the gain could be from various other suppliers. It's not one supplier. There are very few suppliers in India. You can count in your fingers. And only the product ranges where we supply, what we make, it's like the isostatic, like the purging, these are the only product ranges where we are. So in the customers which I name, the product could be different. In somewhere it is flight gate, somewhere it is the conditioner factory, somewhere it could be other factories also. These are the product range. Our product basket is this only.
Okay. And thank you. And second question was, you know, you talked about us getting some price increase now. If you look at the overall refractory industry space, you know, industry has seen some overcapacity built up, in the last couple of years. And earlier there was a case of margin and pricing discipline, but then given the kind of, variation in RM, industries was seeing some pricing pressure as well. So given now we are seeing a demand coming back, is there now rationality in terms of pricing, or do you see, you know, there's a change in competitive behavior still, which is more permanent in nature?
It's a very broad-based question, but I don't see any change in this aspect in the last possibly 8 or 10 years.
Okay.
There is no change. The competition will remain as it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sangli from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. And congratulations for excellent numbers, sir. Two questions, sir. One, in the raw material cost, sir, whatever we are importing from China, have you seen any surge in the costings lately or maybe in the last 2 quarters?
Yes.
Not because of the freight, sir, but
because whatever raw material cost you are seeing, because you are seeing the total cost, so the ocean freight is a part of that cost.
Okay, but X of freight, there is not much.
That also has changed.
That also has gone up. Okay.
I think as I mentioned earlier that there is an RMB appreciation also of about 7%.
Okay.
So that also has changed.
Okay. And regarding, sir, RM cost, as in, if we keep aside, currency, forex is something not you can guide on, but otherwise the actual cost and the freight, how do you see that going ahead, moving ahead?
My understanding is that I think we are almost at the peak of the freight levels.
Okay.
So it should stabilize and only come down in the next quarter. But we need to understand how the shipping industry, strategizes itself. They are unpredictable completely today.
Okay. And my second question is, sir, what will be our current market share in the Indian market as such? I mean, now that we have shown a lot of earnings growth this year and probably some new customers and some new product additions. So what would be our current market share, sir, in India?
I think it is very similar.
12-13% of the market in which we operate.
Okay.
So anywhere between 12-15%. There are no authentic data available file in the factory, of the factory. But on a thumb rule basis, I think we should be anywhere between 12% to 15% levels.
And this is the market of the flow control these factories, or how do you, I mean?
I'm talking of the flow control
factory. Okay.
Very specific flow control factory. Not on a total basis, we should be very small.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Soni from Smith Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So just one question from my side. I want to understand what quantity of refractories is required to produce 1 million ton of steel.
So 1 ton of steel you require anywhere between 10 to 12 kgs of refractory.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Pangmar from Prabhudas Viladar. Please go ahead. Mr. Bhagmar, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted.
Just a question on the part of our like the guidance that we would be able to maintain the margin. So as we are seeing China now, the whatever the product which they used to export, there has been significant price increases, and it seems that will continue to be there. So would we be able to maintain margins given the fact such a sharp increase in the Chinese prices, then we are seeing currency devaluation appreciation there? So all these factors suggest that, and we had highlighted that it's a very competitive world for the refractory business to take the price hike. So what is the rationale or the thesis behind maintaining these margins? Is it because of the product mix? Just wanted to have some idea on that.
Yeah. So on the competition front, let me tell all of you that the competition, this stiff, severe competition has been there for the last 20 years. I'm in the industry. I have not seen a lesser competition in the past also. So that aside, that will always remain. There will be a fight for the orders, there will be a fight on the prices. That will always remain there. Now, what's our advantage? We have good product, we have good service setup, and we have our own goodwill in the market. So that will keep us slightly above the others. And that's how we have been.
And so any color on the part of the product mix, is it going to change significantly? What are the CapEx coming up? And
Nothing. We will remain in the flow control refractory segment mostly, I would say. I'm not able to comment immediately, but I think in a medium to long term, we should get into brick business also. That's one segment where we are not present, although we are doing some brick business by on a trading basis. But that's one part of the business we should be getting into in the next 2 to 3 years time.
And sir, how different could be the margin on that particular product segment as compared to today, which we are doing?
We need to understand that. It all depends on customer, quality of bricks you are supplying, what kind of guarantees you are giving. So I don't see it significantly lower than what we are having. But they could be slightly lower because that's a tonnage business, okay? That's not a specialized flow control type of, it's a tailor-made. they are more off the shelf type of brakes. So the margins will be slightly lower than our current specialized products. But then that will be an incremental business.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question in the queue.
Yeah.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sarda for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for participating. I think it was a very wonderful question answer session, and I hope I've been able to answer most of your queries, and I look forward to interacting with you in the next call. For any further queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. And I also thank SKP Securities for organizing and participating in this call. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best and stay safe.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.